You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to go to newchurches.com/courses to see our most recent courses there to help you in your churches.
The newchurches.com website. Now you love newchurches.com. Just remember that. You do. It's a great name.
Well, do you want to give everyone a historical lesson then as to the domain name?
Yeah, so the newchurches.com, I have had for like a decade or more. It actually was tied into the first edition of Planting New Churches in a Postmodern Age. That was the name of it. Leonard Sweet wrote the foreword, and all the links went to newchurches.com. So we continued that and then ultimately connected it to the bigger plan of the New Churches Initiative at Lifeway. So there you go. So I don't remember the year I bought this, but man, I'm telling you, it was like, but when people were like setting things up with Mozilla, I mean, it goes back that far.
Yes.
Do you even remember Mozilla?
That's awesome. Oh, of course I do. Of course.
Well, I don't know.
Netscape, man.
Yo, Netscape ruled. Exactly. And now, and Netscape and Firefox now. Well, Firefox now is cool, but there was a thing beforehand. I think it was late 90s and Mozilla Community. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
And for another day, but now we know. Now, you want to finish your little spiel? Because I interrupted you.
No, that was it. Okay. You didn't interrupt me. I actually was able to finish it off, and then you went in.
Okay, good, because I'm trying to interrupt less. We've had complaints from the listeners. Okay, no, we haven't.
Wow.
They love that.
So you take feedback, eh?
They love that, eh? My Canadian friend, they love that.
Yeah, eh?
You know you love it. You know people come up to you all over and say, we love it when Ed interrupts you.
Yeah, it is fun. It was fun to interrupt you, though, when we were back together at the Rural Matters Summit up at Wheaton.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. That was a good meeting, too. So we're excited about Rural Church Planning Initiatives that we will be all announcing soon. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So without letting the cat out of the bag too much on that, how about we go to our question from Matt Till?
Hi, guys. My name is Matt Till, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the neighborhood, Ed. As a future church planner, I'm strongly considering the bivocational route. My question for you today is this, though. What are the pros and cons to a bivocational approach to leading a church? And more importantly, what are some of the best practices that you could recommend to best manage my time between a full-time job, my family, and church planning? I look forward to hearing your response.
It's a twofold question.
All right.
Pros and cons. And then how to handle it. So those are the twofold questions. Okay. So why don't you jump in with some pros and cons, and I'll opine as we go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first of all, be sure to kind of go to newchurches.com, hit the search, the little magnifying glass up at top, and type in bivocational, because we do have plenty of podcast episodes on that, blogs on the way that you kind of structure your time. And then we had Hugh Halter on to do a webinar with us on bivocational ministry, juggling kind of your time and all that. So you need to be a Plus member to access that. And then there's actually also a link to take a bivocational assessment as well in that. So, I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons, blind spots, thoughts to think through. But I mean, the biggest thing on this, Matt, if you're married, if you have a family, is to really make sure that your spouse and your children are on board with this. Because as you know, you're gonna have a full time job. I mean, you even said in your question, family. So I'm guessing you have a family, but you have a full time job, and you know how it is when you preach, right? I mean, when you preach, you're kind of always thinking about the sermon, right? Even though you may designate time to write it out, to research on it, I mean, you are always thinking and praying throughout the week on that, and even more so when you're leading a church. So when you have a full-time job, be sure to find the type of jobs that give you freedom in the evenings, that have a set schedule, that allow you to be able to even think through what you're going to be doing, maybe possibly while you're working, because you have some of that headspace.
Yeah, I think
right. I mean, we know.
Yeah, good. Let me mention on the job thing. So I think Steve Shogren, in his book, Creating Communities for the Kingdom, talks about this, is that the kind of jobs that church planners want to go to are often the kind of jobs they don't need. So if church planners generally are entrepreneurs, which they are, and if church planners generally are, people who are, want to start new things, which they are, they can be attracted to entrepreneurial things or sometimes sales things or building business things, and that's not what you need. And so what you said a minute ago is right on. You want a job that has a set number of hours that's sort of free at the certain times that you want to be doing ministry, engaging people, starting home Bible studies, things of that sort. So you want to be very careful that you get a job that your entrepreneurial leadership skills are actually generally being outletted in your church plant, not in a 60, 70-hour a week new business that you're starting. Very few people can do both of those things.
Yeah, I mean, we have a friend out in California, Bernard Emerson. You remember him?
Yeah.
So Bernard Emerson with like the best beard ever. I mean, what his story, I mean, now his job is a little bit different, but before he was a garbage guy, right? I mean, he drove a garbage truck.
So is he not doing that anymore?
You know, from... Well, his role has switched now a little bit. So it's pretty interesting after asking him now how he kind of works through this. So originally, I mean, he would wake up, 4 or 5 a.m. He would be done by like 2, and then he would kind of rest and you know, get into the whole church, you know, recruiting volunteers, preparing for his message, doing all the rhythms of a pastor. But he would have a large chunk of his day available for that. And I think he went to bed at like 8 or 9 because he had to get up so early. But recently he's still with the sanitary engineering company, or, you know, the garbage company.
I love how you tried to call it different. The sanitary engineering instead of the garbage company. He says he drives a garbage truck.
I don't know how to call it, man.
You're so Canadian.
But
man,
you know, his role has changed.
Call it a garbage truck. No, okay, there's so no shame.
His role has changed.
On a garbage truck, particularly for what he was doing.
No,
he was making good money.
No. He was. And so his role has changed now that he has, he's still driving, but instead of actually going and picking up the trash and doing something, you know, doing it as intense as that, he now has regular hours, kind of like a 9-to-5 type of job, but it's less stressful. So I'm not specifically sure as to what he's doing, but he's driving, but he's not doing it what he used to
Interesting.
Do.
So it's even better.
So what he's now.
Because he was making, yeah, I mean, so, here's the thing, he was making really, people don't realize in a city context, what a union garbage man or sanitation engineer can make and what time that he or she can make it. And so pretty great opportunity for him. And it's like, what a great bivocational. So if he's gotten a better situation than he had when I talked to him last, I'm stunned. He is the man. He is the man.
Well, because what's interesting is because he was in his former position, he would be up, he would be done, but he was like, his mind space had to be so into what he was doing because he was going from house to house so quickly, right? His new job, because it's less stressful, he'll actually call his volunteers, call his leaders and do kind of counseling and leadership. He'll do all that while working during the day.
While like driving the
driving
truck.
Because
wow,
it's less stressful.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's less stressful. Yeah. So it's just
I'm so impressed. I was blowing insulation when I was planting my first church, and I can assure you I wasn't making side phone calls when I had a big hose blowing insulation cellulose in an attic with my crew. But anyway, I'm a little bitter.
Yeah.
Can you tell? Anyway.
Yeah. So what are some other maybe pros to Bivo, using the Bivo approach to planning a church?
I think missiologically, mission driven approach, it just makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, here you're going to make contacts, you're going to build new relationships, people, you show up and you're basically some mysterious force has paid you full time to build relationships with people at Starbucks. That some people are like, okay, so what is this? I mean, is this like a cult? Is this what is this deal? So I think all of those things, I mean, are alleviated and sort of the circumstances are reversed. When I got to tell you, you know, I talked to a lot of the crew when I was blowing insulation and had a lot of good relationships that were sort of built from there. And so, it was a good thing. It was a good thing. But it was the challenges is ultimately, the flip side was, man, it's exhausting. I mean, it's just exhausting. Mm. In my case, I was able to move out of that into a full-time thing relatively quickly, you know, so it wasn't years, but you have to have patterns of life that are different to do this long term. So, you know, I have a friend in Brazil, and he is there's not really quite an equivalent, but he's like a federal tax judge in the U.S., and he's full-time with the government. He's a lawyer, But he's also, I met him. He was my doctoral student at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Matter of fact, we're planning to defend his, he's coming up for his dissertation in a couple months. So to defend his dissertation. But what he actually works bivocationally, and they have a rule that everybody who preaches at their church, and it's 5,000-6,000, everyone who preaches at their church has to be bivocational. They're trying to model something. So they determine that it's the right strategy missiologically. And so they want to model this from the stage, if you will. But also they've kind of got, and this is key, they've really worked hard to create a rhythm of life that enables them to do this effectively. And you have to create that. So in other words, there are things you can do. Now it's interesting. I wrote, and because I was a pseudo bivocational pastor in Nashville. And I wrote an article about this, and I wrote there are just basically three things that I do. I said, I preach, you know, I meet with the staff, I lead a small group in my home. And what was fascinating was, you know, one of these sort of discernment bloggers writes this thing. Look, Ed Stetzer, this is all he does. He doesn't visit the sick or do weddings. And actually, if they're in my small group, we minister to each other in that small group. But I thought to myself, so let me get this straight. So I'm volunteering my time. I wasn't paid by Grace Church. I'm volunteering my time. I got three things I can do, and that takes about 10 to 12 hours a week, and that's how much time I have, because I love the church and I love people, and I want to be invested in their lives, and I've got this home group that I can be a part of on journey with. And yet, someone says, "Oh, I'm going to write a blog and tell you Ed Stetzer, so and he only does these three things. What a terrible pastor!" Here's the deal. You're going to get that, not just from the screeching voices on the internet, but people are going to be like, well, can you meet? Can you get together for coffee? Because that's what other pastors do. Well, you can't, and you have to be uncomfortable. You have to be comfortable with uncomfortable conversations where you sometimes say, man, I just can't do that.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, at newchurches.com, we have a course called Missional Church Multiplication, and David Fitch did one of our sessions on bivocational church planting. And one of the things he recommends is the idea of a 15-hour rule for anyone who's kind of on leadership in a bivocational context, where the idea is if you're leading a church or if you're a part of a leadership team at bivocationally at a church, that you don't do more than 15 hours. Now, his premise around that is that you need this allows you and forces you to have a leadership team that leads the church with you, right? Because if you want to stay married, if you want to keep your full-time job, if you want to have a healthy family life and not burn out after a couple of years, you do need a team that leads the church with you if you're going the bivocational route. What are some of your thoughts on that?
No, no question. It's a great point. And you know, what was fascinating too at Grace Church, I was the bivocational, I hate to use that word because, you know, I'm in Christian ministry and so I could work on sermons on airplanes, whatever. But what was fascinating was, you know, I was in full-time work elsewhere better way to put it. And then what was fun was that, you know, so we had three full-time staff. So the way it kind of worked was that, you know, I was the guy who was bivocational. They were the ones who were kind of connecting with on full-time work. So a lot of it is you build that team. Sometimes the team is all bivocational. Sometimes it's a mix. But I think ultimately you have to have shared leadership. But here's the thing I want you to, what I want to tie this to. One of the great things I got to do was to stand up in front of the church and say, listen, I'm not paid for this. I mean, I recognize he's going to be bivocational. He'll probably receive some part-time compensation. But I could get up and say, I'm bivocational. I'm donating my hours, and I ask you to donate your hours. There's a real freedom to do that. So,
yeah. That's huge. That's huge. So be sure, Matt, to check out all the different other podcasts and resources and blog articles we have on newchurches.com. And we'll do a good job linking all that out. So go to newchurches.com/podcast, find today's episode number, and you can dig in from there. Well, thanks again for listening. Be sure to submit your questions in so that we can be there with you, that we can help out where you're at and just be a resource for you. So thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next time.